Thank you for listening to the City of Refuge Sermon Podcast, where our mission is equipping disciples of all nations to make disciples of all nations. Please visit us at cityofrefuge.org.
Well, as many of you know, my wife worked at San Jacinto College, college here locally, and she worked with veterans trying to get into school, figure out how to navigate through school and even pay for school. And so she would tell me regularly that the schools seem to do so much for veterans. And there are some restaurants that you can go to here in Houston, and if you are a member of the military, they'll give you a discount. And with that kind of recognition of veterans and those who serve in the military, there's something that's arisen called stolen valor. And if you go on YouTube and you type in the word stolen valor, there's a multitude of videos that will pop up. And it's people who will go out in uniform, like maybe an officer's uniform in the Army or Navy or Air Force, and they will go into restaurants or malls or funerals. And what they're hoping to do is, even though they never served in the military, to get the admiration, the respect, the recognition of someone who has served in the military. There's actually a guy named Don Shipley, and he is a former Navy SEAL. He runs a Navy SEAL training thing, like a camp. If you, you know, are going to the Navy and want to be a SEAL, you can go there for a week or a month and train with him. But one thing he does is he will get emails from people saying, you know what, there's a guy at my job who claims to be a former Navy SEAL. There's this guy who came and spoke at our church Sunday school 2 weeks ago who claimed to be a Navy SEAL. Stuff just didn't add up. And he has the master database, the list of everyone who has graduated from Bud's training, the Navy SEAL Academy. And so on these videos, he'll go out, he drives all around the U.S., he and his wife, and they'll go and say, hey, you spoke at this guy's church last week and said that you're a Navy SEAL. And he'll say, what class? Like, kind of class 123. 123, that would make you around, you know, 83 years old. How old are you? I'm, you know, 47. Couldn't have been that. And to catch people in their lies. And some people confess and say, all right, I was never in the Navy SEALs. I was in the Navy for 3 years and got kicked out. You know, I just, you know, love getting admiration, respect from people. And there's others who, even though they're not on the list, will keep fighting and fighting. And there's one video of a guy, he's got a Navy SEAL tattoo on his shoulder, and he says, you know what, you were never in the SEALs. And the guy keeps arguing that he was a Navy SEAL. But the reason why these folks do it is because of a desire to be admired or recognized. And everyone in here, even though we may not take it that far, we have this inkling or desire to be recognized and admired as well. And again, it may not be on that level where we're saying, hey, I was a major, or I was in the Navy SEALs, or Special Forces, or anything like that. But it may be something much more subtle, where maybe at work, maybe at your school, when you are asked to do a task, someone says, you know what? Hey, the janitorial staff is moving all this stuff. Can you help clean up and take out the trash? And you're like, I'm busy. I've got a lot of work going on. But then your boss says, you know what? We need someone to do a presentation to the CEO and the CIO a month from now talking about all our new projects. And you're like, oh, me, right? And just 20 minutes ago, you said you had no time because of the fact to take out trash because you were so busy. And all of us have probably done this as well. You know that when the board is meeting or you're at a school, the principals and the assistant principals are meeting, and they're meeting there late in the night. They're in the conference room. And so you say, on Monday night, when they're meeting, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay late at work and do some lesson plans and clean up my classroom. And so as they're meeting, you know, 7:30, I'll walk by. Hey, it's 7:30. I'm just leaving school. Cleaned up the classroom. Did some lessons plans. I love my job, right? So we do things to be seen by people. On the flip side, for those of you who don't struggle with that like I do, you are the type who goes like this. If you are at work or at school and you do a group project, have you ever done a project and you've put lots of work into the project, and then when it's time for the recognition to be passed around, people are like, who? And they forget about you. Have you ever had that before? Right? And you're like, that was my idea. Like, that was my PowerPoint. I did that. And your boss takes the credit for it. Have you had that before? Anybody? So we have all felt this desire to be admired and recognized. And again, some people take it to the extreme of stolen valor. But for most of us, we serve and we hate to serve in anonymity, like no one sees us. We want to be recognized for what we do. And again, some of us take it to the measure of walking by the executive's office and saying, look at how busy we are, or staying late. just to be seen by the right people. And God has a word for us today about that in 1 Corinthians 11. And the title of this message is, Don't Look at Me If I'm Not One of the Three. And that'll make sense here in a second. Don't look at me if I'm not one of the three. And this is the thing where some people will say, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to go above and beyond until I'm a recognized leader, until I get some recognition or admiration. 1 Chronicles 11, if you turn there, 1 Chronicles 11, not a book of the Bible we preach on normally. But here in 1 Chronicles 11, it's an interesting passage because Samuel and Kings cover, or at least Samuel and Kings, cover most of the same information, but they're going on during the period of the exile when Israel has been exiled into Babylon. Years ago, I was preaching on the exile. I think it was during the Daniel series, and one of the kids was in here. It was like a typical family Sunday, and this kid who was in the class drove home with grandma, and the grandma says, so what did you learn today in church? And she said, Pastor Icky talked about the grocery store. And she said, no, he didn't talk about the grocery store. What do you mean the grocery store? And she said, you know, he talked about going to the exile. The aisle you buy eggs in. That's not the exile we're talking about. This is with an X, E-X-I-L-E. So Kings and Samuel are written while the people of God are in exile, saying this is why you're in the situation you're in. Chronicles is written after they've come back to Promised Land, after the exile, saying this is why your ancestors messed up and got in the situation they did. It's a historical chronicle of basically of what happened. 1 Chronicles 11 is talking about the rise of King David to become king of Israel. And now we're going to look at his mighty men, his three mighty men. Look at verse 10. Now these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord. These constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of Hakomite, the chief of the 30, he lifted up his spear against 300 whom he had killed at one time. Next guy, verse 12. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasadenim when the Philistines were gathered together there to battle. And there was a plot of ground full of barley, and the people fled before the Philistines. They took their stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great victory. Here's the thing. He names two of these three mighty men. Now, let me give you their names. So it's Josheb-Bashabeth, or Jashobeam, as it's referred to here, and then also Eleazar. And the third mighty man is Shammah, and he's not mentioned here for some reason. 2 Samuel 23 mentions him by name as the third mighty man. But these are the three mighty men, and some wonder why he's not mentioned here in 1 Chronicles 11. Some believe that he became disloyal to David and he was struck off. And I think part of it is because, again, these men serve in anonymity. They really serve the Lord and didn't really desire recognition. So here's the illustration. If David is the CEO, all right, if David is a CEO, these three men are the CIO, the COO, and the CFO. They're like his group. If he's the president, they're his cabinet. If he is the founding partner of a law firm or accounting firm, then these three are the managing partners. If David is a pastor, then these three are the elders. And if David is a superintendent, then these guys are the associate superintendents. They're the leader of leaders. Are y'all with me? Now, notice what happens here in verse 10. It says, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. It was God who appointed David to be king. Here's point number one. God appoints and promotes people to positions of leadership. Psalm 75, 6 through 7, promotion comes from the Lord. Psalm 75, 6 through 7, promotion ultimately comes from the Lord. So God appoints and promotes people to positions of leadership. It's God who does that, according to the word of the Lord. So again, remember these three men, COO, CFO, CIO, these are like the cabinet for David. David is the CEO. Here's the interesting thing now. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. As for Abishai, the brother of Joab, so this is actually a nephew of David, he was chief of the 30, and he swung his spear against 300 and killed them, and he had a name as well as the 30. We're going to look at 37 men in 2 Samuel 23, 30 men here, these mighty men. Look at verse 21. of the three in the second rank, so the below the CEO, CIO level, he said he was the most honored and became their commander. And I love this phrase here. However, he did not attain to the first three. That's why I mentioned to you, if I'm not one of the three, don't look at me. Even though he wasn't part of the three, he wasn't a part of the cabinet, he wasn't a partner, he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And here's the thing. Look at Jashobeam. Jashobeam killed 300 with a spear in one battle. And actually, in 2 Samuel 23, it says he killed 800 men. And some people say the reason why it's 800 there, 300 here, the numbers in Hebrew, 800, 300, look exactly like. So it could be 800. Regardless, it was a lot of men he beat in one battle. But Abishai could say the exact same thing. He could say to King David, I killed 300 men in one battle with a spear. In fact, I'm one of your nephews too. I should have priority because we're family. But instead, it ends with, he did not attain to the first three. So he kept serving the Lord, even though he wasn't recognized as being part of this three. Have you ever had that at work before, where perhaps you're a mid-level manager, you're not one of the VPs or CEOs and something, and you come up with a great idea at work? Have you ever had that before? And you say at work, you know what? I think if we let people clock out at 4:30 instead of 4:45, it would do X. It would, you know, get people home faster, and they'd be at work earlier. It'd be better for work morale. And they say this to you, but you're not one of the three, right? If you were CEO, CIO, whatever, we would listen to you, but you're not one of the three. I was at a church, a very large church, and I was on staff there, but I wasn't an elder there. I was just working with some of the young adults, and I'd come up with these ideas. Hey, have we ever thought about doing this or doing this or maybe moving the lights and doing this or doing this? And the pastor would regularly say to me, great idea, Zicky, but you're not one of the elders. You're not one of the three. So I just go, okay, I'll just keep serving quietly right where I am. And that's what happens to this guy right here. He's a mighty warrior. He's loyal. He's faithful. But Abishai was not one of the three. Now, next guy, look at verse 22. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, mighty in deeds, struck down the two sons of Ariel of Moab. So these two mighty Moabite warriors. Notice this in verse 22. He also went down and killed the lion inside a pit on a snowy day. So he is a mighty warrior. And this very unusual description about him. It rarely snows in Israel. It snows in some of the higher mountainous areas around Jerusalem. So perhaps he was out hunting. Perhaps he was out on some military excursion. And it started snowing. And so perhaps he said, I need to get warm. And he found a cave or a little pit. A little hole, and he went in there to get warm. And as he's in there warming himself on this hunting expedition or military expedition, he hears a right, like a growling sound. Maybe he sees the two eyeballs like looking at him in the dark. He killed a lion by himself. That's how brave and courageous he was. Now let me give you my own story about this. And this happened yesterday, and this is no accident that I guess I'm preaching this. So yesterday, middle of the day, we get home from a long day of volleyball, and my wife takes the recycling out to our garage. She's going out to the garage, and I hear this boom, and running back in. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what happened? And the girl's like, what happened, Mom? What happened? And she said, I was putting the recycling in, and I saw these beady little eyes and this long tail. She said, I saw a rat or a possum in the garage. And being the Benaiah that I am, I'm like, okay, let's go get this thing, right? And so I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get the garage door opener, go on the outside and open the garage door, hoping this critter, very sharp teeth, will run out from the garage, right? So we're all sitting there in kung fu pose. We open the garage, right? And nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing. We're looking under the car around. And so again, being the Benaiah, the mighty warrior that I am, I say to my wife, I'm going to crawl on top of your car. My wife's car is in the garage still. So I'm on top of the car looking in all the crevices, trying to find this possum or giant rat, man-eating rat, by the way, all right? So I'm looking and looking, and I get this stick. I got this broomstick because I can't see anything. So now I begin poking at stuff, hoping this possum will come out. Nothing happens. So then I tell my wife, maybe it found a hole in the wall and is now crawling in our walls. Shouldn't have said that. Because my wife said, now I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight because there's a critter in our walls. So then I asked my girls who are loyal and just follow dad's like obedient daughters, go buy a rat trap. So they went to the store to get some food for dinner. Go buy a rat trap. Not a small mouse trap, like a giant mouse trap with like claws, right? They come home with a glue trap. They're like, it's much more, what'd you call it? Humane. It's much more humane. And so I said, when we got a man-eating possum in our walls or in our garage, I don't need humane. I need dead, right? So then I'm like, okay, we'll take care of it. Well, I'll go buy a real rat trap and we'll take care of it, put some peanut butter, and we'll get this thing out of here. So then my wife has to take our daughter to the movies with some of her volleyball teammates. She is afraid to go in the garage. So she takes my car to take my daughter there. So she comes back and says, Icky, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. I can't even go in the garage until we get rid of this possum. So she said, I'm going to open the garage door one more time, hoping that it comes out. So I said, you do you, right? I'm enough being benign. Like, I'm just going to, I can't kill a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Well, then I'm there just doing some work, and all of a sudden she comes in, phew. I'm like, what happened? She said, I opened the garage door, and I see these beady eyes, and it kind of walks out, and it ran out of the garage and ran into the yard. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, called you, yelling your name so that you could see that there was actually a possum in our garage. And so anyway, we got rid of the possum, no longer in our house, out of the garage. It was like a little baby possum. So unlike me, Benaiah, he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. If that's not enough, verse 23 says, he killed an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. This warrior was 7.5 feet tall. He was Yao Ming with weapons. And he says, but he went, now in the Egyptian hand was a spear like a weaver's beam, but he went down to him with a club and snatched a spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Almost like David and Goliath. Verse 24. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did and had a name as well as the 3 mighty men. Behold, he was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the 3, and David appointed him over his guard. So with all these mighty things that he did, mighty, loyal, as he was, the text ends here and says, but he did not attain to the 3. He never became an elder. He never became part of the C class. He never became a leader, even though he did these mighty things. And the reason why I believe is because these men weren't serving King David. Ultimately, they were serving the Lord. Look at Colossians 3, the verse we read together in our scripture reading, Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3:22. Here's the context. This is talking about Roman slavery, slaves and masters. When the gospel came in, it radically changed things. But they still had slaves and masters. Look at verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service. What does not with external service mean? It means do not look up when the principals are going to be meeting at your school and work late on that day. Don't see the calendar and know when the CEOs are to come by the plant to inspect things. And on that day, you work extra hard and extra late. He says, don't do it merely to be seen by people. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, 1, don't do these good works to be seen by people. He says in verse 22, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of the heart, fearing the Lord. Why? Verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. He says, you and I, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, you may have a director, you may have a boss, you may have a whoever you report to. They are not your ultimate boss. You do not work for them or the company or your clients or customers. You work for the Lord. Are y'all with me? You work for the Lord. And he says, God's going to reward you. That word reward in the Greek literally means You get something for what you do. You do something, you get a reward. Just like if you see in the post office, it says reward, $10,000. There's a picture of some guy, right? You can't call that number. Hello, I want my $10,000. Give us a tip. Tell us where he is. Tell us what she's doing now. I just want the $10,000. They're not going to give it to you unless you do the work. And that's what he's talking about here. You work for the Lord. God's going to reward you with an inheritance. And again, the context here is slaves. Most likely they're going to be poor for the rest of their lives, but the wealth that they're going to inherit is both in the kingdom one day, the millennial kingdom, but also in eternity, in the new heaven and new earth. One day when Christ comes back to rule on this earth, they're going to rule with Christ. And one day when the new Jerusalem comes and it's a picture of this multi-story mansion, this large mansion in the sky, I believe the first will be last and the last is going to be first. There are many who lived on penthouse suites on earth, but will be in the mailroom in heaven. And there's going to be a lot of people who serve God faithfully in the mailroom today that one day they're going to be in the penthouse for eternity. It says, God is the one who's going to reward you because you are working for the Lord. Now look at verse 25. Here's the flip of it. Verse 25, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done and without partiality. So your boss may not see you being lazy. Your boss may not see you skipping out on work, but you know who sees? God sees. God sees. God sees those things. So again, we work for the Lord. Go back to 1 Chronicles 11. There's point number two. Sadly, some Christians either refuse to serve or limit their serving until God appoints or promotes them. So the question must be asked, who and why are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you serving to be recognized and seen by the elders of this church, by your boss, by the principal, by the superintendent, by the managing partners? Are you doing it to be seen by them? Are you serving the Lord? A little bit quiet in here. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to close before we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. He lists the rest of these men. There's 37 men in total. Here's the one that kills me. Here's the one I think is a model of faithfulness. Look at verse 41, 1 Chronicles 11, 41. He says, in this list of mighty men that weren't in the three, verse 41 says, in this group is Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite. Now, for those of you who have maybe grown up in church and Sunday school, do you know the significance of Uriah the Hittite? Do y'all know? So Uriah the Hittite, so number one, he's not an Israelite. He was the husband of Bathsheba. Do y'all know who Bathsheba is, right? So Bathsheba was this beautiful woman that King David seduced, had an affair with, got her pregnant. When he got her pregnant, what he tried to do was saying to Uriah the Hittite, one of his soldiers, come on back from the front lines. You've been working hard. You've been fighting. You've been away from your wife. Spend some time with your wife. Eat some good food. Enjoy some good wine. But you know what Uriah said? Uriah was so faithful and so loyal, he says, forbid it, that my men are fighting on the front lines and I'm back home enjoying dinner and food with my wife. So he slept on the steps. So then he basically, David's plan backfired. So David said, this is what I got to do. I know he's loyal and faithful. I'm going to have him go into the fiercest battle and then have his men retreat. And Uriah died. David was a murderer. He was faithful to David because he's faithful to the Lord to the point where David had him killed. So I don't know about you. Anybody in here, unless your boss is in this room, anybody in here have a bad boss? A bad boss? Is your boss trying to get you killed? Right? Right? I don't think any of us in here can say, you know what, my boss, you know, like to Aaron, who's an engineer, like, you see that fiery flame, that gas fire? Go in the middle of it and go put it out. Okay, right? No one's doing that. But here was King David, who had Uriah literally killed. That's how faithful Uriah was. So here's my last point. Serve God faithfully, even if it's never recognized by people. Your boss doesn't see it. Your manager doesn't see it. No one sees it. Serve God faithfully. Originally, I had the point, serve God faithfully, even unto death, I think was my original point. That's what Uriah did. He was faithful to the Lord, to death. The name Uriah means Yahweh is my light. Yahweh is light. That's what it means. He was faithful to God to the very end. Here's a big idea for today. I may not be one of the three, but I know God sees me. I may not be one of the three. I may not be an elder at City of Refuge. I may not be a CEO, CIO, COO. I may not be a managing partner at my accounting firm or law firm. I may not be one of the senior doctors at this big medical thing I'm at. But you know what? God sees your faithfulness. God sees the work that you do. Here's some small group questions. Number one, why do you think stolen valor occurs? What is the root of our desire for recognition and admiration? In your small groups, if you'd ask this question, discuss it. Number two, how does Colossians 3:22 through 25 change the way you view your job and your employer? As you go to work tomorrow or this week, as you're at work, how does it change the way you view your job and your employer? And then next Sunday, I will be gone. I'm taking our oldest daughter to college. So I'll be gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday, taking her to Southern Nazarene University so y'all can gift me some boxes of Kleenex, I guess. My good friend Mike Rosas is going to be preaching. He's one of the other chaplains for the Rockets, a good friend of mine, working together. So he'll be here next Sunday. But the Sunday after that, August 20th, we're starting a new series called Letters from a Roman Jail. We're going to study the book of Ephesians. I want to encourage you to read Ephesians to prepare for that. Last thing before we do communion. So several weeks ago, we just presented new members. I was doing the new members class. We were downstairs. It was a Saturday before Summerama started. The Saturday before Summerama started. And this is one of the many reasons why I love City Refuge. I'm sitting there teaching class. The door's open because it's kind of warm in the class. And one of our elders keeps walking up and down the hallway. And I'm thinking, maybe this guy's spying on me, making sure I'm working on a Saturday, right? Like, make sure I'm doing what I need to do, right? But instead, he walks back and forth. And next, you know, when he comes back around, this elder who's made hard decisions here at church, loves all of you, shepherds this church, he has a mop and a bucket, and he's mopping the hallway up and down. He's an executive at a large company, big baller, shot caller. This executive, he's mopping the floors up and down, just getting the whole downstairs ready for Summerama. And so I'm like, man, what a servant, right? And I'm not going to name who he is because he did it not out of the need for recognition, but he was just serving you all, serving your kids. Well, then we finish with the class, and then I'm going into the kitchen to drop off some plates and food and stuff like that. And there's another one of our elders on a Saturday morning. He's cleaning the kitchen. The kitchen has not been cleaned in years. This stainless steel is so clean. It's a mirror now. I can see myself going, oh, right? It's so clean now. And this guy's like, yeah, I grew up, you know, like I couldn't cook well. The one thing I did, chore around the house, was like I learned how to clean the house well, right? That's what I learned how to do. Now, Kimmy and Grace, y'all can learn that too from this elder guy, right? So I said, here's my address. You can come to our house and clean anytime you want to, right? Anyway, but again, he's executive of a large company, made hard decisions, served faithfully, won't tell you who he is. But again, he's doing this stuff to serve you, but ultimately to serve the Lord. So again, that's my charge to you this morning from God's word, is serve God faithfully, whether people see it or not. And these two elders weren't doing it to be seen by people. They were doing it to serve you all and serve your kids and serve the kids from our community that were coming for Summerama. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful just for this challenging message, God. I know so often we're created in your image and you're a just God. And so when we have been treated unfairly, when we do work and we don't get credit for it and others take credit for our work, we just say, hey, that's not right. That's not just. It's not fair that this other person got the bonus of promotion for something I did. But God, other times we totally recognize it's just our stubborn pride, our hubris. God, our desire to be with a puffed out chest to say, look how smart I am. Look at how amazing I am. Look at how gifted I am. Me, 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 me. And God, often you allow us to be overlooked, God, to humble us, God, to break us off. So God, I just pray now that we would serve you faithfully, whether we're seen by people or not, God. Because God, we know from Colossians 3 that you're our ultimate boss. You're our leader. You're our king. You're our president. God, it's not the board. It's not the CEO. It's not the director. Not the managing partners. But God, you're ultimately our boss. You promote. You provide. So God, help us to have that mindset, God, as we go to work tomorrow, as we go to school, and it's not the professor, it's not the dean. God, ultimately, it's you that we're serving, and you see us, God. So like Uriah, God, will we be faithful unto death to you, God? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.